John Else joins us this morning to tell us the inside story of Henry Hampton's 1987 landmark multi-part television series, Eyes on the Prize, one of the most important and influential TV shows in history. His new book is True South, Henry Hampton and Eyes on the Prize, the landmark television series that reframed the civil rights movement. John Else was Hampton's series producer and cinematographer. The book focuses on the tumultuous 18 months in 1985 and 1986 when Eyes was created. True South is being published on the 30th anniversary of the initial broadcast on PBS, which reached 100 million viewers. It is a great pleasure to welcome John Else to the roundtable this morning. John, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
It's good to be here.
Thank you very much for being with us. Give us a sense of why you wanted to tell this story 30 years later.
Well, it's 30 years after Eyes on the Prize. It's actually 50 years after the golden age of the civil rights movement.
Yes, sir.
I had actually worked in the civil rights movement in the American South, in Mississippi and Alabama back in the 60s. And then been involved with the making of Eyes on the Prize. And, you know, these stories about the expansion of democracy need to be retold every generation by new storytellers, by new filmmakers, by new writers. And I wanted to record how Eyes on the Prize got made so that future would be a sort of an operating manual for future generations of filmmakers. I think we got some things right. I think we did some things wrong. And I looked around and I saw that a lot of the people, some of the people actually involved in the making of Eyes on the Prize, were aging. Henry Hampton himself had passed away far too young in 1998. when I was working on Eyes on the Prize, I never intended to write a book. So I didn't keep very good notes, so it meant a lot of time in the archives going through the old documents from Eyes on the Prize. It meant a lot of time in actually the civil rights archives, digging out information there. I began writing the book the week that Barack Obama was reelected by a wide margin, and the book went to press the week that Donald Trump was elected. So it's been a kind of a long, strange trip, for me, Eyes on the Prize is all about legacies. It's all about, what America learned and didn't learn from the civil rights movement. And it seems to me the legacy of Dr. King, has slammed up against the legacy of George Wallace, perhaps.
Let's talk about Henry Hampton for a moment. The subtitle of the book is Henry Hampton and Eyes on the Prize, the landmark television series that reframed the civil rights movement. Tell us a little bit about Henry Hampton, how he came to the project, and ultimately how you got involved with him.
Well, Henry was a fellow from St. Louis, Missouri, who actually had been in Selma, Alabama in 1965 during the events there. And he had walked in one of the marches on the now famous Pettus Bridge as a young man, as a 24-year-old. And he looked around him and he said, "Someday this is going to make a great story. This is going to make great television." He wasn't even a television producer at the time. And years later, he set out to make a grand epic television series about the civil rights movement. His first attempt to do it was a complete failure. It was an utter humiliating failure in 1978. He tried it, and it went down in flames. In 1985, he re-energized the idea, this time for public television. Eyes on the Prize ended up being the culmination of a 10-year struggle on his part to get this story told, and to get it told in a new way. There had been other documentaries about the civil rights struggle. They had centered mainly on leaders like Dr. King. They had been produced by almost entirely all-white production teams. And Henry wanted to make a series that was produced mostly by African-Americans with an African-American executive producer, and that brought local black people in the South to the forefront of their own story. He was really interested in putting the maids and the sharecroppers and the janitors and the cooks on camera, not to interview the people who wrote about them, the historians, but to put them themselves on camera. And I think that's set Eyes on the Prize apart from everything that had gone before. It was a hell of a struggle. At one point, while we were doing Eyes on the Prize, Henry had to mortgage his house to meet the payroll. We nearly shut down several times. But, you know, he got it done, and it got broadcast. I think over the long haul, it's been seen by probably something like 100 million people worldwide.
So let's explore that a little bit, because I did mention in the introduction that it was tumultuous. And you certainly indicated that, money being one of the many issues. Why was that the case? It would seem like it would be a fairly easy sell.
Yeah, I mean, it should have been easy. Documentary film is always a struggle to pay for. I mean, it's just, you know, I've spent my life doing it, and I mean, why do you think I wrote a book? Documentary films are expensive. If you turn on public broadcasting tonight and you watch a great documentary, it's a pretty good bet that thing costs $500,000 or $1 million.
Right.
There was a constant struggle for money. Henry had a very interesting way of making films. His company was called Blackside, and there was something called the Blackside Method. And Henry Hampton believed deeply that the civil rights struggle involved black Americans and white Americans. So the films about the struggle should be made by teams of black and white filmmakers, men and women, together. And that meant that, you know, he said, we have secrets from each other, black and white men and women. You know, if you say police, you think of one thing. If I say police, I think of another thing. And he felt that in these filmmaking teams that were actually doing the groundwork of making Eyes on the Prize, he wanted black filmmakers to have to explain to white filmmakers and white filmmakers to have to explain to black filmmakers. He called it the abrasion of good minds. And he felt that out of that, those deep, deep and often difficult discussions, that better storytelling, we would tell better stories, that no one person, no one filmmaker could get at the whole truth. It was an incredibly energizing, invigorating way to make films. There were, you know, hours, hundreds of hours of heated discussion around the big table and rough cuts and fine cuts. It was very inefficient. It was a very expensive way to do it. But I think in the way he forced us to make better films by doing that.
When you think of what it has accomplished and the part of the subtitle of reframe the civil rights movement, how do you think that was the case of it reframing the discussion and our understanding of it?
Well, you know, on a dark day, I feel that it made no difference at all now in 2017. On a good day, I feel that I hope Eyes on the Prize opened Americans' eyes to the fact that these movements for liberation, for equality, for equity, they are driven from below. They are driven by people, by ordinary Americans. I think we're seeing that with Black Lives Matter, you know. And I hope that is the takeaway from Eyes on the Prize, that democracy is expanded by the people who live in a democracy. I despair, for instance, when, you know, President Trump refers to John Lewis and says he's a man of, you know, all talk and no action. I mean, I'm sort of stunned by, you know, the lack of historical understanding there. John Lewis, who stood at the head of the march on the Pettus Bridge in 1965, standing there with such dignity as 100 state troopers advanced toward him and beat him unconscious. For the president not to know that makes me wonder if Eyes on the Prize had the intended effect. On the other hand, you know, after we did Eyes on the Prize, several years later, Henry Hampton received a letter in his office from a young politician in Illinois, Barack Obama, asking Henry Hampton if he'd have a look at the manuscript for his book. So obviously someone was watching, eyes on the prize. You know, these stories do need to be retold every generation, and I'm happy to see there are other filmmakers now who are doing newer, fresher versions of the story.
There is an aspect to this, and in our final moments, I'd just like to explore it with you, is that you did voter registration in Mississippi in 1963 and 1964. You were arrested, you were jailed. And I'm curious as to how what you make of in an election season when we have a president who won questioning the legitimacy and saying that there was voter suppression, and what that means for the overall concern that you were fighting against in 1963 and 1964.
Well, I think anything, you know, I mean, you can't run a democracy on fantasy, and you can't run a democracy if the citizens in the democracy lose faith in the electoral system. And I think we got a lot of bad wires crossing here. I think we have very real voter suppression. We have the very real fact that the Supreme Court has undone part of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and now we have this crazy notion that somehow there were all these illegal ballots cast, and that erosion of confidence in the system, that's a very, very tough piece of medicine right now. That worries me a lot. I mean, I am a glass half full sort of fellow, and with respect to voting and the electoral process in America, I mean, it seems to me the glass is sort of half full of poison right now. And we're going to have the fight of our lives restoring a fair and equitable and trusted electoral system. I am very, very worried that American citizens are going to start to opt out of that system. And that way lies madness.
Well, John Els, it's you put that beautifully, I think. John Els's new book is True South, Henry Hampton and Eyes on the Prize, the landmark television series that reframed the civil rights movement. The book is published by Viking. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.